Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
This is a special day. I believe that we are drawing a line in the sand. Drawing a line in the sand. How many of you are competitive? Give me a wave if you're competitive. How many of you come from a sporting background? How many of you know what it's like to draw a line in the sand? It's like, here is a line. You step over it, I'm going to knock you out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're coming. How many of you know the church is coming? So, some of you are like, did he say knock you out? I said knock you out. And it's like there comes a time when it's like, it is time. We've been here now for, this is our 23rd year here at Enjoy Church. We've gone past 22. We're halfway through our 23rd year. But I actually believe in many ways this is the most important year of our life. I believe this is the most important year of your life. You might be, I've just been here 18 months. I've been here 18 days. You might have just walked in today. This is the most important day of the rest of your life. I believe today's word is either going to set you up for victory or it's going to get right up your nose. Praise God. But either way, it's going to cause a response, and I'm believing it's going to be the best response in the world. Because how many of you know? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's like, it doesn't matter what's happening. This is still the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it because I'm alive. Praise God. We are alive in Christ today. My prayer as we begin this series today is that gladness, praise God, will fill your hearts. Gladness will fill your hearts. Now, the theme for this year is alignment, kingdom alignment. How many of you have ever been to a chiropractor before? Give me a wave if you've been to a chiropractor, had maybe a spine out, the back's out. And so isn't it true, you go into the chiropractor and they'll examine you, they'll walk around you and walk around you and walk around you. Then they're gonna get you in some sort of jujitsu, karate move, hold thing, and then they go snap, crunch. How many of you know, there is a crunch, there is a snap, but then gladness comes. There is a crunch, there is a snap, and then joy comes. I believe today in the Spirit, there's going to be a crunch. I believe today in the Spirit, there's going to be a snap. But then the joy of the Lord is going to come, amen. Then the gladness of God is going to come. I'm believing for the joy of the Lord, the gladness of God, to fill your hearts. May joy, inexpressible joy, be poured out upon you today, that you might rise up and live the life that God has got for you, with boldness and confidence, that you might step out in faith in the knowledge that I am ready, I am aligned with heaven to lay hold of that life that God has got for me. Now, in church and in life, I can see there are two places where people typically live. There's other places as well, but typically most people are going to live in one of these two places. There's often two ends of the spectrum where people will find themselves living and doing life. So often people find themselves living in the funnel of the whirlwind, or in contrast, in the safety of the plantation. As one or the other. As I examine people, watch people. How many of you know I'm a people watcher? That's just who I am. I watch people all the time. You might be like, you're coming in today and you're thinking you're watching me. No, I'm watching you. Which one of us is on the platform looking? You know what I'm saying? You're not up here looking at you. I'm up here looking at you, which means I am the watcher. Praise God. You ask Georgie, if ever we go out to a restaurant or wherever we go, to a cafe, whatever, she will know where I'm going to want to sit. I am not going to sit with my back to the people looking at a wall. No. Because otherwise, when I'm going to look at ants climbing up the wall, no way. I want to look where the people are. I examine people. Most people are living in the funnel of the whirlwind or in the safety of the plantation. Now, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind." They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, "They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." I don't know about you, I could get excited just reading that verse there. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. As we all step into 2021, how many of you are here just out of curiosity? Give me a wave if you are here online or in the other locations. You're here, yes, you're here. We're all here. How many of you have arrived in 2021? Okay, good. At least 8% of you. Praise God. How many of you are still on your way? How many of you are trying to work out how to go back to 2019? Can't we just erase 2020 altogether, go back to 20? It's like back to the future, baby. No, we're not going back anywhere. You can't. It doesn't work that way. We are now in 2021. Now, we all have the ability in this time and in this place to choose. All right, I'm going to help you out here. Today, I want you to choose life or death, blessing or curses. We've arrived here in 2021, but now is our choice. We get to choose whether we'll be swept along by the whirlwinds of life or become part of God's plantation, bearing fruit for this life and for the life to come. Now, as this is the first in the series, we're just going to lay a foundation today. I'm not going to get too excited. No. I'm not going to get too excited. No. Stop that. I'm not going to get too excited. Well, maybe a little. Just a little. All right. But we'll see how much you're clapping in a minute. All right. It's like, yeah, bring it. No, don't bring it. Don't bring it. No more. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So how is it then that a person would reap a whirlwind? Well, I'm glad you asked. And we've actually already read the answer to that. Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 has already answered the question. For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And so then how does one become part of God's plantation? Well, the same way. We've already read it. Isaiah 61 verse 3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now, we could step into verse 3 and I could say amen and you could say amen. But here's the thing. I can only say amen because I understand who the they is. They will be called. Who will be called? I know who we're talking about because I know verses 1 and 2. But if you do not know verses 1 and 2, you'll be questioning, who is the they? Who is the they? How many of you want to know who the they is? How many of you want to know who is the they that will be called oaks of righteousness? Give me a wave. All right, we're all in the same boat. We want to know. Okay, let's read it together. Isaiah 61, reading from verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, which is the church, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise. That sounded like Tarzan praising right there. A garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Who will be called oaks of righteousness? But those who are anointed, those who abide in the word and do his will. Who are going to be called oaks of righteousness? But those who are aligned with God. That's the bottom line. If you want to be an oak of righteousness, you've got to align yourself with God. Church, can I encourage you? God is not going to align himself with you. No. God is not going to align himself with you. But as you align yourself with God, it's then that you can become an oak of righteousness. Now, if you're wondering why I'm saying abide in the word, yes, we get the anointing part. We heard that. That's what verse 1 said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So I get that. And I get the doing his will part. I understand that. I get that because basically we're talking about doing his will there in verses 1, 2, and 3. But what about abide in the word? Friends, can I remind you today? Can I encourage you today that in Isaiah, this word is a prophetic word. In Isaiah, it was prophesying of him who was to come. It was prophesying of the Messiah that was to step up. It was prophesying of Jesus and his coming and the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. Now, this is what I love about this verse here, because how many of you know, it was speaking of the future, but this word was fulfilled in Jesus. This word was actually fulfilled in Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, This is the passage where Jesus stood in the temple and he said to everybody in this place, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the Word of God. Friends, I want to encourage you today, if you want to be an oak of righteousness, there's undoubtedly, we need to be a people that are anointed. We need to be a people of the Word, and we need to be a people who are doing what he has called us to do. This is what it means to be in alignment. All right. So we find ourselves in this place now. Find ourselves in this place, which is why we want to be people who live, love, and abide in the Word. It's those who are planted in the Word and have the Word planted in them, who will be called oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. And these are the ones who will become a planting of the Lord. Okay. So, those who sow wind are those who are lacking substance. I want to encourage you, this is what it is, because we don't want to reap the whirlwind. How many of you want to reap whirlwinds in your life? Like just continuing, spinning out, getting dizzy with disappointment. We don't want to be these people. Those who sow wind are those who are lacking substance in their hand as they go. They lack substance as they go on their journey in life. They open their hand and there's nothing in there, nothing in there at all. It's empty. It's void. It's just full of air. Sometimes it's hot air. Sometimes it's bad air. Should I say that? I'm not too sure. But it's just air. There's no substance to it. It's lacking the substance required to reveal the splendor of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that reveals the splendor of God. I want to live a life that displays the splendor of God. Anybody else in here today? I remember what it was like before I got saved. I don't want to live that life anymore. I want to live a life that when people look at my life, they're like, man, I see the goodness of God. I see the presence of God. I see the splendor of God upon that person. They may not understand me in totality, but they can see the splendor of God. On the other hand, those whose hands are filled with the Word of God, whose eyes are fixed on Jesus, who have the sword of the Spirit in their mouth, whose minds are set on things above and not on the things of this earth. These people have a weightiness. These people have a substance. And as they go and they plant, they become like a planting of the Lord. In which when you're planted in the house of God and you look around at all the other brothers and sisters that are doing the same, how many of you know we're not just a planting by ourselves, but we become a plantation together for the glory of God, bearing fruit that's going to remain both in this life and in the life to come. Now, all right, effectively, in this moment, on the 7th of February 2021, in today's climate, strange days, most peculiar, mama. You know what I'm saying? These are strange days indeed. I've never experienced days like this. Crazy days. Everybody has lost a little bit of their mind, I think, in 2020. And it's like everyone's just a little bit out of whack, just not quite themselves. But we find ourselves in this place getting ready now for the rest of our life. And so we want to prepare ourselves. We want to align ourselves with God that we might lay hold of everything he's got for us. Now, the whirlwind in this season could be likened to the harvest of isolation and the plantation to the harvest of alignment. Now, I know this message might be going a little deep today for a foundational message, but we have to lay the foundation right. If we don't get the foundation right, it's not going to make sense as we go along. But friends, I want to say to you today that the whirlwind could be likened to the harvest of isolation. Everyone say isolation. It's like, how many of you got a bit of a twitch when you say that word these days? All right, come back. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know about you, I hated isolation. People are like, Pastor Shane, how did you go with isolation? And I'm like, shut up. It's like, don't say that word around me. The whirlwind could be likened to the harvest of isolation and the plantation to the harvest of alignment. prophetically. And you know, I rarely will get up here and say what I'm seeing prophetically, but I'm going to go here today. Prophetically, I see two spirits at work in the church. I actually see these two spirits at work in the world, but I'm speaking to the church today. And I see these two spirits at work in the church at the moment. The spirit of isolation that leads all who entertain her into a whirlwind, and the spirit of alignment that leads to the planting of the Lord. One is wind, the other is the word. One is emptiness, the other is substance. One leads to the funnel of a whirlwind filled with the dizziness of disappointment. The other leads to the plantation of the Lord filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Where do you want to live? Where do you want to dwell? Enjoy is everywhere. And those watching in online today, wherever you are, no matter what location you're at today, this is what I want to ask you today. I want to ask you to choose. Just like Moses stood before the people of God and got them to choose. There comes a time when you need to choose. I need to choose. We need to choose. Choose life. Choose death. Choose blessing. Choose curses. But today, as I stand before you in the same vein or the same spirit, I say to you, choose isolation or choose alignment. Choose isolation or choose alignment. Church, it's alignment that will lead to the splendor of God being revealed in us. Just as isolation will lead you to emptiness and the dizziness of disappointment. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, Shane, you're stuck in a time warp, man. You're still in 2020. What are you talking about isolation for? Don't you realize that we've all moved on? We're no longer in isolation. We left isolation. We're in church. We're in church. We're in churches all around the world now. We've left 2020 behind, and now we're in 2021. Isolation has passed. Friends, I want to encourage you today. I know the momentary moment of isolation has passed. I know that we all endured last year. We were isolated together. I understand that. You in your house, me in my house, we were all in a space and in a place of isolation. I get it. I understand it. But friends, I want to say to you today, isolation is more than 9 months of a year. Some of you, when you think isolation, you're just thinking of the 9 months when you were isolated. I understand very clearly we have moved on from that moment. No doubt about that. But friends, I want to say to you today, the same spirit of isolation that I'm talking about here is the same spirit of isolation that caused Adam to isolate himself in the beginning. Remember when God's walking through the garden? God would meet with Adam every day. They would walk. They would talk. He was with the Word of God. He was in the presence of God. He was in the light of God. But then something happened. And as a result of something happening, what did Adam do? He isolated himself. He ran off and hid behind a little fern bush, probably with a little possum back there. I'm not too sure. I made the possum part up. But you know as well as I do, he isolated himself to the point where then God had to come through the garden yelling out, Adam! Adam! Where are you, Adam? You'd hear the father's heart. Because Adam isn't where he should be. Because Adam isolated himself. Nobody isolated him. But Adam isolated himself from God, from his presence, from his life, from the light of the world, from the Word of God. The greatest challenge that we have in 2021 as an individual and as the church is isolation. You might be like, Shane, you're hung up in the past. We've passed it. I know we've come out of isolation. I get that. But here is my question to you, and the one that you need to be able to answer today. Has isolation come out of you? Has isolation come out of you? I'm not asking whether we've come out of isolation, but I'm asking, has isolation come out of you? Proverbs 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. Doesn't matter whether you're hearing this in Australia or USA, Cambodia or Osaka or Japan. It actually doesn't matter. The scriptures are true to humanity. a man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Over the past few months, from this pastor's point of view, and the reason I'm going here is because I love you. I care for you. I want to be your pastor, and I'm not one to stand up here and say, you have many fathers and I'm your father and all the rest of that. But I know for many of you, I'm your spiritual dad, and I want to lean into that space and I want to appeal to you today. I want to appeal to you because I love you and I only want you to live in the plantation of God, bearing fruit that is like, wow. So I want to appeal to you. I don't want you to be caught up in the funnel that's going to lead you to that place of dizziness and disappointment. No. But from this pastor's point of view, I tell you, my friends, the truth is, I see the fingerprints of isolation everywhere. I see the fingerprints of isolation everywhere. I can never recall a time like this in the 23 years that we've been here where I am watching people seeking their own desires, which reveals the spirit of isolation. It's like a man who isolates himself, seeks his own desires. But this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing more than ever people stepping away from their marriages. Unbelievable. Just up and gone, baby. I'm out of here. I'm watching people stepping away from their families. Just 1 minute they're there. And I'm not just talking about husbands. I'm talking about wives as well. Stepping out on their husbands and their children. And it's like, we're not really going to have a conversation. We're not going to have a discussion. I'm out of here. And it's like, when did this become okay? It's never been okay. But this is what I'm seeing. And more than ever, I'm watching people step away from their careers and their businesses. I'm watching people step away from churches. Speaking to many pastors over the last probably 3 months, some of the stories that we're hearing, it's like, it's just strange. It's weird. It's like the spirit of isolation has got into the hearts of people. The spirit of, now this is not new. As I said, this actually goes way, 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 way back. But after 9 months of lockdown, 3 months of lockdown, whatever it is all around the world, it's all different. I'm speaking to pastors everywhere and they're saying, Shane, you wouldn't believe it. You know this person, you know that person. It's like they're just up and gone. It's like, why is this happening? Without even a conversation, without a discussion. People are stepping away from their lives, raging against all wisdom, seeking their own desires. As a result, they open themselves up to the whirlwind. Now, I know from a distance, sometimes it looks like, man, they stepped out of that and they stepped in and it's all good. I promise you this, there is a whirlwind. You cannot sow wind and not reap a whirlwind. On the outside, it might look all calm. It might look like la la da 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 da. But on the inside, you know what I'm talking about? You all come to church sometimes and you're like da 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 da. And it's like, but on the inside, it's you know what I'm talking about? On the outside, there's one thing going on, another, and on the inside, there's something else going on. Friends, we don't want to be a people who open ourselves up to the whirlwind. Hosea 8, verse 7. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Their stalk has no head. Amazing, eh? The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. In other words, no good thing is going to come out of here. But the one who is aligned, everyone say aligned, aligns, brings their life under the authority of heaven. Brings their life. Oh, I'm coming today. It's like, I don't know what's happening in your locations out there, and I don't know what's happening in here, but I'm coming. I'm going to preach myself into alignment today because I know what's going to lead to a display of the splendor of God in my life. It's actually coming and aligning myself under the authority of heaven. The one who is aligned brings their life. They bring their life. Sometimes people say to me, Shane, why don't you hold that person to account? And why don't you, and it's like, it doesn't work like that. My heart is my responsibility. Your heart is your responsibility. But the one who is aligned brings their life under the authority of heaven. They're under the authority of heaven because they understand authority. Most people who won't do this actually don't get it. Don't get it. Sometimes, to be honest, I talk to some people and I feel like I'm talking to a brick. Brick. Not like Anchorman Brick. I like that guy. But I'm talking about another brick. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and I'm just not getting through here. We're not getting anywhere here. It's not actually happening. Huh. But there are people who bring their lives under authority because they understand authority. Because they understand authority, they position themselves under authority. In the knowledge that the splendor of heaven flows through lines of authority that God has set in place before the beginning of time. So as we step today away from isolation to align ourselves with the kingdom of God, because that's our theme for the year. We want to align ourselves with the kingdom of God that we might display the splendor of heaven upon our lives. This is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for me. This is what He wants for all of us. So as we go here in 1 minute and 15 seconds, I'm going to bring you the 3 points that you need to know as you look to align yourself. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you today? Align yourself with God. God, align yourself with God. Now, yes, you clap. Come on, you can clap better than that. You clap. Yeah, you clap out there too. Come on, Hobart, clap now. Adelaide, clap now. All over Victoria, clap. How many of you know it's like, oh, hallelujah. I was hoping you'd say that. Because how many of you know, yeah, it's like God is God. It's like God is easy. I'm going to align myself with God. He's loving. How many of you know God is love? He's kind. He'll bring you joy. He'll bring you peace. He gave His Son for you that you might have life. Sing hallelujah. It's like, yes, give me God. He's the beginning of the line. But then we go further. Point number one is God. Point number two is the Word. The Word. Yeah, you can clap. Come on, sister, you can clap now. All right. The Word is the Son. The Word is the Son. All right. Jesus made flesh. Word made flesh. Here's the thing, though. I want to help today. The majority of Christians see, yes, God. I'm going to align myself with God. The Word, optional. Optional. What do you mean optional? We don't teach that here. I know we don't teach that here, but this is the spirit of isolation. We separate ourselves from God because it's not convenient. I feel, as we heard today, I feel. So we step away from our feelings because we feel like, rather than actually saying, if this is the Word, I'm going to die to myself and live for Christ. If this is the Word, this is where I'm going. I remember when I was a teenager living in Albury, we had a pastor there, Mr. McMartin, Bill McMartin was his name. He would go and visit this little old lady. She was like 113 years of age or something like that. And one day he asked for her Bible and he went to read a passage for her. And he said, sister, what's happened here? All these lines have been crossed out. And she goes, I don't like those lines. I don't like those sentences. How many of you know we can laugh, but maybe we're in the same boat? We see God as an absolute. We see the Word as optional. I can opt in, I can opt out. Opt in, opt out. All right. All right. Some of you are feeling nervous. I can see it on your face. I can see beyond those masks. You can't hide from me. I can see. All right. Point number three. So point number one is God. We're going to align ourselves with God. He starts it. Then point number two is the Word. We've got to lean into the Word. We align ourselves with the Word of God, which means that's right. It's yes to it all. We're going to obey the Word. Not because it's law, but because it's love. You know what I'm saying? It's been laid out before us with love. Then we go to point number three. Are you ready for three? Now, unfortunately, I wish I could say, okay, so here we go. Point number three is the church, the body. Now, all else I've got, you can see my notes here. So I've got, this one's easy for God. This is seen as optional for the Word. But church here, the body, as you can see there, I've just got this. This. And then I'm lost. And the reason I'm lost is because I'm aware that so many people see the body differently. You all have a different view, a perspective of the body. Most of us in this room are going to say, yes, I want to align myself with God, and the word comes under God, so I want to align myself there. But the church is where it gets really funky, and everybody does what seems to be right in their own eyes. The problem is, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. See, many Christians on planet Earth today feel like church, it's not even an, we don't even put it in the optional category. It is like, it's all about feelings. It's all about our own desires. It's all about our own wants. It's all, it's like, that's why there's so many people out there that are searching for churches, looking for churches, because they become consumers of a church rather than realize when God takes hold of your life, He wants to plant you in a church. Plant you in a church. I don't know about you. All the plants that were in my garden last week are still there today, even the ones that I've killed. Sorry, Pat, but they're still there. They're still there. You know what I'm saying? But they're still there. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. The church is fundamental to who you are becoming in God, who you are becoming in Christ. A lot of people are like, no, I don't want to do it like that. I want to feel free. God speaks to me. Friends, you laugh. God speaks to me. Friends, I tell you the truth. Okay, God speaks to me. How many of you would think God speaks to me? Would you agree God speaks to me? 22 years, 22 and a half years we've been here. I can promise you, to the best of my knowledge, and I think this is still true, I have never made a decision at the board and said, we're going to do something that not everybody on the board agreed to. And I can promise you, there's been many times where they didn't agree. So what did I have to do? Suck it up, sweetheart. I've got to suck it up. I didn't leave because the board didn't agree with me. No. It's just like, I'm not moving. It's like, this is where God planted me to do me good. I can promise you that once George and I found ourselves and who we were in God and we were planted in a house, we never left the church without being sent out. I can also say this, there was two times where we knew God was calling us out and we wanted to go. When we spoke to our pastor and he said, no, now is not the time. We just said, well, this is where God planted us. We're under authority. We're going to trust our God. We're going to trust our Lord at the right time. He will send us out if it's Him. If it's not Him, I'm not going anywhere. But you know as well as I do, that's not where we live today. And so many people, they miss out on what God has got for them because they don't understand alignment. They're happy with God because He's altogether love. Oh, praise God. We get the word and we understand the word. So we're like, yes, we'll buy in. But I don't know about that part. But no, come back now. But then understand this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they're going to flourish in the courts of our God because they're planted. If we can get this worked out, I promise you, you become part of a plantation. Most people actually aren't planted in church. Most people attend church. I'm just being really real. I want to help. It's like, and I'm speaking to the converted, you're here, you know what I'm saying? But I want to help because there'll be times when you will want to unplant. Most people. Most people aren't planted. Most people aren't submitted to authority. How many of you know submission to authority is actually a godly concept? It's in the Bible. That's what I say. We get to that verse in the Bible. We don't want that verse. No. We want God, the love God. We want that God. Then we can do whatever we want, land wherever we want, and then it's all going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. I said it to you a few weeks ago. Jesus is not the blessing fairy that's going to bless you in your decisions when you keep Him out of the equation. You've got to get it from God. You got to be aligned to God. Got to be aligned to His Word. Getting back to the thought, most people are not planted in church. You know when we find out whether we're planted or not planted? Because when it comes to this concept of submission, most people are like, well, I'm submitted in the house. No, most of the time we're in agreement with the house. I promise you this, as long as you're in agreement, submission is never really put to the test. Because it's when that moment of disagreement occurs that we find out who's actually submitted and who's just in agreement. Often what happens is, when it's only agreement, what happens is we get to that point where it's like, this is what I'm thinking, this is what they're thinking. It's like, then I feel the calling of God. It's like God spoke to me. How many of you know when people come and say to us, God said, it's like game over. as a pastor, when you tell me God said, what do I do with that? Well, of course God said it. I'm thinking, like heck he did. As they're just being, I'm trying to help. And it's like, because if God really said it, this is what I know. Okay, do I believe that God called us out of Albury, when he called us out of Albury? Did I believe that God called us out of Morwell? And this is what we did on both occasions. Pastor, this is what we believe God has been saying to us. What do you think? Why did we do that? Because he's our authority. Authority. And when God speaks through the authority, how many of you know when we step out, we actually step in authority? These are simplistic thoughts for me. But for many, this is where people struggle. I want to see you live a blessed life. I want to see you live in the power of the Spirit. I want to see you live all that God has got for you. I know I'm looking down there and I know I've gone over and I know I'm now pushing all the services back. But you know what? I'm actually okay with it today. God has got a plan for you. God has got a plan for each and every one of you. God wants you to display the splendor of heaven upon your life. He wants you to display his splendor. He's altogether good. He's altogether lovely. He is. That's why we can align ourselves with God so simply. But then we need to align ourselves with the Word of God, knowing this is bread for life. This is bread for life. This is like, if we will partake of it. Jesus said, I don't live on a bread alone, but every word. And he was the Word made flesh. How much more should we be living on every word? And then we want to align ourselves with the house of God and the authority that God places over us. I know we've all had challenging experiences in church. I get that. You think God's not aware of that? You think there's like clauses in the Bible? Oh, if you've had a challenging experience, this doesn't apply to you. No. He's still God. And his word is still his word. And his church is still the church. And when we get these things worked out, we're on our way to aligning ourselves with for the life that God has got for us. At this point in time, I'm going to hand back to every location, Pastor. God bless you, everybody out there, and enjoy well today. God bless you. No, we love you. We're praying for you, believing for great things for all of our locations and all of our wonderful people. Praise God. I want to pray before I duck off. In a moment, Pastor Jake's going to come. He's going to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. But I want to pray for every man, every woman that has to wrestle this out. I say wrestle it out because I know a lot of people come in with all sorts of experiences. A lot of people come in with all sorts of beliefs. If you're looking at what I'm saying and listening to what I'm saying and you're like, I don't know about that, go back to the Bible. Just go back to the Bible. You'll see it from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through. Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is representative of people. We are a planting of God in the plantation of heaven. Right from the beginning, we see him walking in the garden. And now we are the garden. I love the fact that we are different types of trees bearing different types of fruits, but together we are one people in one plantation, built for the glory of God. God is at work. The gardener is at work. And we are going to see incredible things this year. If you're here today, let's just close our eyes. You're here today and you're saying, Shane, maybe you're watching online today and you're saying, Shane, man, I wrestle with it because I just wrestle with it. I know, it's called the flesh. The flesh wants to isolate, go do its own thing, seek its own desires. But I know this, my life has not become my life because I was by myself. My life has become my life because I've done it with brothers and sisters in the house of God, the body of Christ, the church. So if you're here today and you're saying, Shane, struggling, but I want in. Maybe you're here today and you're not struggling at all. You're like, I get that. I'm hearing what you're saying. And I can see that I've aligned myself with God, mostly with the Word, but the church, but today I'm hearing what you're saying. And as I sow the Word of God in my life, I want to be a planting of the Lord in the plantation of his house. If that's you, just raise both hands before God right now. Just raise both hands. I just want to pray for you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we sit in your presence. Some of us have done this right. Some of us have done it wrong. Some of us are working it out. But I pray, Lord God, there would be revelation today. Revelation today. Revelation. that we might embrace you, that we might embrace the concept of kingdom alignment in the knowledge that none of us get to align by ourselves. It doesn't work like that. But Lord, you from the beginning, Lord God, laid the foundation of the world. And Lord God, it was you, Lord, who set apart, Lord God, for yourself, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work, people for works of service. There has always been authority in your house, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that those who have authority would be good stewards of it and love your people well. I pray for all of us, Lord God. Lord, as we find ourselves in this place, that we would yield to the authority above our life and submit under it, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, you only give us authority to be a blessing to us, to help shape us and be all that you want us to become. So, Lord, we surrender to you afresh today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise, shall we? Praise God. Hey, I know I got to go and I do have to go. But here's the thing, because some of you might be like, well, just out of curiosity, whose authority are you under? Because I get it. There are many guys, girls in my position, Georgie in my position, where they're not under authority. They choose to get to a point and then they do their own thing or whatever the case may be. I can promise you, we're still under authority. As in, I'm under the authority of the Assemblies of God or Australian Christian Churches, Assemblies of God, it's a blasphemy past, Australian Christian Churches. I'm under the National President's authority. When it comes to our board, I submit to their authority because I know it's good for me. We have a vision team. I submit to their authority. And then we also have another group of advisors that work with our vision team that also have authority over my life. I choose to position myself under authority because I know, and you know it as well, Jesus said to the centurion, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel because he understood kingdom authority. The interesting thing was, obviously, a centurion, he's not an Israelite, he's not a Jew, but Jesus is saying, I've never seen such great faith. Why is that? Because he understood authority. And because of that, because the centurion said, I understand how this works. I too am a man under authority, which means I have authority. We choose to remain under authority because then we also will have authority. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.